This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
This is definitely a topic that hits home for me, and I'm sure a lot of people out there right now that are they're drowning so much in student debt, Will, that it's not even, like, I don't even think I won't pay it off. I'll just die, which is fine. And I look at it as like a utility fee, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Never going to be done paying for electricity or water or sewage or whatever it is. You're never going to be done renting, you know, if you're renting. It's just something that you have to pay every month. That's just something that you have to do. But this is crazy to me because I know that the cost of tuition has been going up and up and up, but I didn't really understand why or what was going on. But I saw this article, this story on CBS News this morning, and they kind of broke it down and explain exactly what's going on, why all these colleges are charging so much more and why the cost of tuition is rising, like, I mean, like tenfold in the last decade and a half. Like, maybe the last 15 years has probably gone up at least 10 times as much, which is insane. And that the price, the cost of it is going up and the value is going down.
Right.
Like, it makes no sense. When my parents were, you know, in college, they left college and basically everybody was able to get a living wage, a job where they could support themselves and maybe even a family off of one income and just a bachelor's degree. That's a joke now. That doesn't even exist. I feel like the people that I've met that are the most successful have either A, started their own business very young,
yep,
or worked for a while, you know, saved up money and then started a business, or they just did tech. They were techie kids. They didn't even need a college education and they got swept into some, you know, big corporate company and they're just killing it because they're doing IT and they didn't need to go to school for that. They just were really into that when they were a kid and, you know, figured it out from there. But here we go. This is why college is going up, people. Listen closely.
Americans fall behind. And we're starting with the price of college, a cost that's supposed to be an investment. By 2020, an estimated 65% of jobs are expected to require at least some college training, but that training has never been more expensive, with the average cost of attending a public college up tenfold since 1965. We wanted to find out.
Okay, since 1965. So I exaggerated a little bit.
Let's pause a minute here, too, because number one, when our parents went to school, I don't think they had federally backed loans. You didn't need loans to go to school. It was you worked during the summer
and you paid your tuition.
And then you would go get a job. Also, too, there's so many more universities out there now. These jobs require a college, some sort of bachelor's degree or something, because everybody has one. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to keep up. It's like graduating high school.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
It used to be, you know, you just needed a high school, you know, diploma or some sort of equivalency. Now, since everybody went to 13th grade and 14th grade, they go, all right, well, you know, you shouldn't need a bachelor's degree to get a job, an entry-level job as a, you know, administrative assistant. Some of these bigger companies, you actually need that. Mm-hmm. I look at some of the jobs like on LinkedIn and stuff just to see what's out there, and it's insane. There's no reason you need a bachelor's degree to be a secretary. That's insane. But it's just because everybody has them. Yeah, a lot of jobs.
Well,
65%.
I think what they're really looking for isn't the fact that you went to college and you got an education. It's that you accomplished something.
I understand, but
you're from a good family, possibly. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
But even graduating high school shows that. But it's just because everybody has a damn bachelor's degree now. You're going into a job that starts at $28,000 a year, and you need to go and have, you know, $60,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
That's just such a disadvantage to come out into the workforce and be $60,000. I don't know what I don't know what my debt is now. When I left, it was, I think, 40, and I just don't pay it. Like, I pay the bare minimum.
Sure.
You have to work with them. This is what I learned. Like, you have to be like, listen, this is what I can give you. This is my finances. Here's my tax returns. I'm not lying to you. I can't pay you $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's
not feasible.
I won't be able to stay alive. If you want me alive to pay you, you're going to have to lower my bill. So that's what they do. They'll work with you. But just like you, I'm going to be paying that forever.
Forever.
Forever. I don't think there's any way. I mean, hopefully, you know, I'll get hit by a car.
Mm.
I'll be badly injured. Mm. I won't die. Won't be paralyzed. But I'll break up some bones, and they'll have $1 million insurance policy or something, and then I can pay them out. Just give them cash.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. But it's such a burden to be levied down with this debt. I can't get a – I was like, maybe I'll buy a condo or something. Buy some property. Be a property owner. That's what I want to be. Just it's just owning something.
No, I know what that means. I'm just saying it's so far off the radar for me that I'm like, what?
And you know, property is always a good investment.
Sure.
It dips sometimes, but it always comes back up. It's a good thing to own. It's collateral. You can get other loans based on owning that property because you have that collateral there. So I was like, maybe that's what I should do. I'm going to be 35 years old this year. Let me look into buying something. I can't. They won't give me anything.
No.
Yeah, I have too much debt. My income to debt ratio is too high. I don't have credit cards. I wasn't that idiot that went and got a bunch of credit cards. I watched my idiot friends do that and learn from their mistakes.
Right.
So I don't have that problem. I have one credit card with $600 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just give them $10 a month, piddle that away.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, I'm bringing it down slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting a mortgage, they're just like, nah, we're not going to give that to you. And I can't blame them. But it's only because of that student loan debt that I accrued during that time. And I understand that that was my fault. Like, I get that. I signed a promissory note saying I would pay this back.
Sure.
But also, what annoys me about that is, yes, I did say I would pay that back, but didn't I enter into a contract that if I get this piece of paper, I'm going to have an income coming in that will be greater than the investment? It's part of the deal. It's a risk.
It's a risk.
That's
it's not a promise.
It's not a promise.
It's a tacit agreement.
But that's the unspoken kind of. If you go to college, you're more likely to be successful. You'll get a higher paying job,
which isn't unnecessarily true. But I feel like maybe not in this day and age. Let's hear a little more of the conversation.
Why?
Keeping up with studies requires a lot of concentration.
There was a time when college was a pretty bare bones experience.
Classroom buildings, fraternity houses, dormitories, and administration offices.
But these days?
Wow, there it is. Lifeguards and everything.
It's a lazy river. He's at LSU right now. It's a lazy river in the shape of LSU. They've spelled out LSU, and it's a lazy river that the students can use so they can study better, Will.
Nice.
Students at Louisiana State University can now enjoy a 500-foot lazy river. It spells out LSU.
Hey, lifeguard, are you a student here too?
Yes, sir.
So you're paying for this? You're paying for the lazy river?
Yes, I pay for this into my fees.
Lavish perks are now common at major colleges, part of a national arms race in amenities, from fancier dorms to gourmet food to rec centers that resemble water parks.
You don't need a rec center water park. It's cool, but that is why college is so expensive. Is that these colleges, these universities are trying to recruit more students. So they're trying to come up with the biggest, baddest amenities that they can offer, thereby recruiting more students, seducing more people to go to their schools, and accruing more. Obviously, you're having a larger graduating class, more students, more fees, and then you're upping these fees because of all these added amenities, and it's just getting out of control. You know what they've also started doing, which I didn't realize? Usually, universities would kind of, they would recruit from the surrounding area, right? If you went to a UC school, for example, most of the time you were a California resident. That's not what they're doing anymore. They're reaching like international students. They're reaching out-of-state students so that they can accrue even more tuition from these people because they have to pay out-of-state fees. That's what happened with me when I went to grad school. I was paying out-of-state fees my first year, I believe. So I was like, it was just insane. I was paying, and I'm putting that in quotes, I'll tell you how much it was costing, $12,000 a semester, and I was taking two classes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's so weird because the college or university or whatever community colleges, they used to kind of be part of the community. I was watching this this show I like. It's about a football program, and they kind of travel around. This time it was at Independence University in Kansas.
Mm.
And it was a football show. It was about this. Last Chance U.
I've seen it.
You've seen that? Oh, okay. So you know the premise of it. And there was some people saying that because they recruited all these kids from out of state, there wasn't kids that from Independence go in there. I think the vast majority of them are out of state. And these football players, they're asking the taxpayers to put all this money into this football program for kids who aren't going to stay in Independence and, you know, take their knowledge and build a business or, you know, innovate in the
community.
Build it
back in the community, right.
Yeah, they're just going to take it elsewhere. And that's not good either. That's a valid concern. And, of course, they made it a race thing because they're, you know, well, these kids are black, so that's why you don't like it. And they're going, no, I just told you why. They go, no, we know why. All right. Yeah. And maybe there is some of that. I don't know. I don't know what's in people's hearts and minds. But that seems like a, you know, a valid concern that people would have in the community.
Absolutely. Let's hear a little more.
Economists tell us it's all evidence of a broken system. As states have cut funding for higher education, few universities have cut their ambition. Instead, they're competing to expand enrollment and recruit more out-of-state and international students.
Isn't that sick? So it's not like they're trying to get better teachers, better scholars, better quality students. They just want more. So instead of investing in the education, which you would think they would want to invest in, and they do a demonstration where they go into the library is falling apart. The tiles are coming off the ceiling, off the walls. Like the piping in the library isn't very good, but the students don't care about the library.
They don't use the
they
library.
They care. Right. Why would you need to? You have Wi-Fi
you have
in your room, right? They want to see the lavish, you know, university centers and the lavish swimming pools and the rec centers and all that sort of stuff and the field where they play sports. But the library is like the bare bones of the whole college experience, you would think, is falling apart. It's sad. It's really sad.
Typically pay much more for the same education. And as a result,
at big state universities all over the country, it can get harder and harder to actually find students who are from the state, including here at Penn State. Hey, sorry to bother you. I got a quick question. Raise your hand if you're from Pennsylvania. One guy?
It was just like one dude in a crowd of people. This person's from California. This person's from New York. Then they had a few students from China. No one's even from Pennsylvania at Penn State. That's what's happening, folks. They're recruiting people from outside of the state so that the intuition is higher.
Money.
Oh, you're on Stay Woke. Who's this? Hello? Okay. Hello?
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 Is this the devil?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to talk about on how they recruit out-of-state students and international students. Basically, just it's almost as if almost align their own pockets. Like, I know a lot of them are non-profit, but it seems like they're just using it just to keep reinvesting in it at the expense of basically when you sign up for the student loan, because there is no way out of it, period.
Absolutely. Did you go to college, sir? Are you drowning in student debt?
My wife is drowning in student debt. I dropped out after 3 years to start my own business.
Okay. Did people call you crazy? Did people call you crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going for an engineering degree at Purdue.
Oh, wow.
I only had 1 year left to complete an electrical engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped out. I mean, I paid off my student debt relatively quickly, but I know my wife, she has, I want to say $112,000.
Wow. Now, why did you drop out? Did you just see it wasn't worth it? Did you get a job offer? So you're like, I already got the job. Why do I need the degree? Was it that or?
Basically, I started on my own business. And basically, when I figured out that I could make more money dropping out of college, applying that 40 hours a week to doing what I did, basically, it was like, well, why do I need a degree?
What
I'm going to be
do?
My own boss. Why do I? I'm an end buyer. So basically, I buy. When stores go out of business, I buy the entire complete inventory, and then I resell it on Amazon and eBay.
Nice.
Primarily is what I do. So basically, when a store goes out, I buy everything, all the scraps left over.
That's capitalism, baby.
And so how do you feel about your decision years later?
Best decision I ever made was drop out of college.
Boom. Are you banking? Like, are you doing, like, really well?
Revenue-wise, I'm about $1.5 million a year. Total profits, roughly about 20% of that.
That's pretty good.
Now, I have 3 full-time employees. My wife also, she works with me as well. So we're clearing just shy of about $220,000, $230,000
a year. A year? Wow.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's middle class.
That's
technically it is. I know that sounds crazy. But, yeah.
That's incredible, and congratulations.
Yeah,
but there you go,
man.
College dropout right there. That's the American dream.
Thank you, guys.
All right, have
see
a good
you,
one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, there's so many things that people need. Do you know who Mike Rowe is? He did that show Dirty Jobs.
Yep. He talks. I've heard a few of his podcasts, actually.
Yeah, I like him quite a bit. And his thing is there are a lot of jobs that people don't want to do and things that you wouldn't think pay well but actually do pay well. Getting in the trades, being an electrician, a plumber, stuff like that. It's not a glamorous position, but those people make good money.
Dude.
You get an electrician job with the city or something, they're making like $150,000 a year. They're doing very well.
It's just not, like you said, it's just not a glamorous job. But forget about that. I heard this. It was like on TED Radio Hour with Guy Raz. I remember he was interviewing Mike Rowe. And Mike Rowe was talking about this guy that he had met that looked very unassuming. And he would pick up, they were worms on the beachfront in like Maine. Mm-hmm. And he would sell it for like bait, for fishing bait. And he was talking to the guy and he was, and then the guy brought him to his first house. And then he brought Mike Rowe to his second house. So he had two houses and he's like, this guy is banking. He's making like, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and all he's doing is picking up like worms
out of
the ground. And he's like, people don't respect that, but this guy did something that nobody else was doing, no one else was willing to do, and he's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a total myth and a narrative that's pushed with us, with our generation, that you had to go to college. It didn't matter really what you did, but you had to go. It was the thing. So when I graduated high school, I didn't necessarily want to go to college. I wasn't particularly – nothing stood out, something that I wanted
nothing
to do. I wasn't like, I want to be a journalist or I want to be a scientist. Like, I was just like, I have no clue. Wasn't, didn't do particularly well in school. Just got by, did the bare minimum, and graduated. And I wish, in retrospect, I would have come here and got a job in promotions and started working my way up here. Who knows where I'd be, if I did that. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out. Who knows? But I wasted so much time and money going to school for something. I have an English degree. I speak English. Not even that well. But, it's just reading the classics. If I wanted to do that, which I really didn't, I just got that degree because I tried everything. I was in the journalism program. That's what they put me in, journalism, because they just didn't let me pick. They were just like, here you go. Because I didn't have that. I didn't declare.
You take like not an aptitude. What do they call it? Like career assignment?
I don't know. Somehow when I got to the University of South Florida, I got my welcome packet and it said that I was in the journalism
track. You didn't even choose it?
No. And I went, okay, that's fine. Sounds good. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Let me get a business degree because that's what everybody needs, business. I'll just do that. And then I couldn't do it. It was so crushingly boring. Yeah. I didn't like it. And then I switched to graphic design. And then I didn't end up getting into that like official program. So I was like, crap, what do I do? They're like, well, you can get out of here in a half a year if you go get an English degree. I said, perfect. I'll just do that.
Wrap it
up.
I
didn't have a passion for it. Like, and an English degree, it just means nothing. It's totally useless.
Yeah.
I just read the classics. That was it. I could have done that on the internet for free if I really wanted to.
I hear you, man. And I did similar stuff. I mean, I thought I wanted to do academia. I thought I wanted to stay in the sciences. I was passionate about it. But then it's one of those things where, and I use the analogy of like being a doctor, you can love anatomy and biology and chemistry, but if you hate working in hospitals, you're going to have an issue when you become a doctor. It was the same thing for me. Like, I loved learning about evolutionary psychology and all that stuff, but the life of a researcher was boring as hell.
Daunting,
it was bleak.
Yeah.
It was sad. And I was like, I got to get out of here. So, do I regret all that stuff? No, because it led me to here. I feel like I learned a lot of stuff. I became a learned individual. I kind of dicked off for a while, went traveling, experienced some stuff. I'm kind of glad I didn't go right into radio. It wasn't even on the table. It wasn't even on my radar at all. So, it is what it is. We're here now. We're alive. We're relatively young. It is what it is, Will.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the HMB Sides, available only at hmbradio.com every Friday or on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Don't forget about the homemade broadcast every Tuesday at 6 a.m. at hmbradio.com and every Sunday at 6:15 p.m. on radiosaintpete.com.